that God would be a friend to man. Eternal life, eternal joy, He's my friend. Wow. Think that through. Think that through. That's wonderful, profound truth. We're in Ephesians chapter 6. Got a couple in the balcony, I think. Couple in the balcony. Did they get any up there? Okay. Are you ready? Fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. Take off and landing. Finally, my brethren, literally be being strengthened. Be being made strong in the Lord and in the power, the strength of His might. This is not a human thing that's going to get us through this. Put on part of the armor of God as you choose. Okay? You don't want to be missing any of it, all right? Put on the full armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles. This is the methodase, the methods, the strategies, the stratagem of the devil. Because we wrestle, we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness, the special kind of wickedness in the heavenly or the high places. Wherefore, take unto you, because of this, for this reason, you take unto you the entire armor of God, all the layers, the panoply, the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand. Not so that you might be able to struggle, but so that you might be able to stand firm. Withstand in the evil day. That evil day is a very pernicious evil day. And having done all, you stand firm. You're still standing, all right? Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. I like to say rightness. Because when you use this old English word, you lose the meaning. It's the rightness, having on the breastplate of rightness. Your feet shod. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, you take the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery, the flaming darts, the flaming missiles of the wicked one. Very graphic picture of these tar-coated arrow tips that are burning on fire being shot at you. All the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, divine deliverance, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. When we get done with the armor, we still have the mission of delivering the message of God's word. It's still in place. So we are on a mission for God, if you please. Now, we have gone through page number 2. Preparation for the battle. Notice the paraphrase of verse 11 on page 2. Clothe yourself with every piece of the armor of God specifically, so that you will have the ability to hold your ground against or facing the strategies of the devil, of the pernicious one. And then we see all of the things we are to put on. If you live a life reacting to the evil around you, you will lose the battle every time. What's the first thing you do in the morning? And I don't want to get into the wrong kind of a connotation here. You put your clothes on. You do that every morning. Is that correct? You put on your... How many of you eat breakfast? You eat every day. You get clothed every day. You eat every day. All right? We are talking about a daily exercise. We're talking about the fact that you approach life with a consciousness that things are not going to go your way that day. And they won't. And that we are in a struggle between the powers of darkness and God's power. We're in the middle of that struggle, all right? The middle of the struggle between light and darkness. You begin every day with that consciousness. Now, if you don't, you're going to go for a fall. You begin every day that way. Put on, clothe yourself. Just like you put on your clothes in the morning. I put on my clothes this morning. I do every day. And the clothing is appropriate to the circumstances that I face in that day. So you put on the whole armor of God, and you have all of these things. Put on the Lord Jesus, the armor of light, the new man, the breastplate of righteousness. That's your relationship with what's right, the new man. Every day you put yourself into the battle consciously on God's side. Consciously. There's a mentality here. You do not go through life as a Christian passively. You go through life actively. Mind engaged, spirit alert, heart ready. Okay? So, when you get up in the morning, I never will forget Dr. Cantrell. Some of you remember him a long time ago. He was in his 80s. He used to say, I get up every morning. He said, I put my feet over the side of my bed, and he says, I say, good morning, Lord. Then he said, I get up, and if it works, it hurts, and if it doesn't hurt, it doesn't work. And so every morning, but every morning, and I do this every morning and every night, I present myself to the Lord consciously. We need to live on the alert. We need to know who we are, what we are about. There is purpose in our life. We are not living passively, reacting to things. We are actively preparing for what's coming that day. So, prayer and relating to the Lord and giving ourselves over to the Lord, we are actively. On page number 3, turn there. We're commanded to put on the full armor, which is all the layers of the armor of God. And then the next paragraph, about a third of the way down the page, stand firm. We are not to run or retreat. So most Christians live life passively. And their prayer life and everything is governed just by what happens to them. We need to have purpose in our lives every day that we are going to glorify God in everything that comes our way. Period. Everything. And that we want to see the hand of God in every hardship we face during the day. Not in one or two, in every hardship. We are here to manifest the glory of God. By the way, the glory of God is never manifest apart from the hardships and the difficulties through which we go. Don't forget that. The easy things in your life do not manifest much of the glory of God. Yes or no? True or false? Okay? So now we're here to manifest the glory, to see the hand of God, the work of God, to display the glory of God in the dark world in which we live. Now, we're moving on. The nature of the battle. First of all, we want to note the nature of the enemy. What kind of an enemy do we face in this battle? We're to put the whole armor of God. Well, you don't get yourself inside a Sherman tank unless you're anticipating something. Right? You don't gear up with, and I don't know how many pieces it used to be that they'd put a soldier and a rifle and a knife and a couple of things, and the gear of the soldier in World War II was much different than it is today. When I see what these men carry now today in preparation for battle, they've got computers, they've got GPSs, they've got all kinds of things that we never dreamed of. And maybe some kind of a thing so they can connect with the drone and see what's going on. But when somebody's all outfitted like this, it means they know there's an enemy out there, and that it's not going to, they're not headed for a 4th of July picnic. I think that Christianity has softened up so much in America today. We're all here for the American dream, and God is a divine ATM machine where we get everything we want, so we'll get what we're dreaming about. That's not the Christian life. You're going to witness to someone, you're going to try to live for God. What do you run into? Opposition all over the place and difficulties. So the nature of the enemy, we do not wrestle. And the word wrestling here, this was the ultimate life and death experience in Paul's culture. This was not like, any of you watch this phony baloney wrestling on TV? I don't. They gets the toehold on the guy, and he screams and yells and gyrates all over the floor. And I mean, a lot of phony baloney stuff. In Paul's day, the wrestling was to the death. Whoever won the thing, won the match, killed the other guy. Gouged his eyes out, gave him a slow death. It was a struggle to the death, to the finish, fight to the finish. It wasn't any of this stuff like we have in our modern culture. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means humanity, human kinds of enemies. Now, he lists some things that don't make sense to us. We don't think in these terms. What in the world is a principality? What is a ruler of darkness? Wow. Someone who is in charge of promoting darkness? Putting out the light? You have spiritual forces of wickedness in the high places, literally in the Epuranios, which is the heavens, in the heavens, in the heavenly spheres. So he tells us here that we have an enemy that we can't see. We can't see. What was that film? Oh, my. Disney put it out. Oh, about the pirate. Yeah, Blackbeard's Ghost. Have you ever seen that? Blackbeard's Ghost. Oh, it's very interesting. And you never seen that before? Oh, you're missing something. This old pirate came back as a ghost, and hooked himself up to this guy, this coach, football coach, and so. Everywhere the football coach went, this ghost went. And this ghost was doing all kinds of things. Nobody could see him, but the ghost helped him win the track meet. The ghost just mixed up the opposite, all kinds of stuff. Nobody could see because he was unseen. And he got into the gambling casino, and the ghost was just throwing people around all over the place. And the guy was looking there, and he says, he's in here somewhere. Like, we have, oh, where he went? I mean, the ghost hit him. Well, now, our enemy can't be seen. We don't know where he is. We don't know where he'll show up. And what we fight against, there's no human reasoning behind a lot of the things we face in life. There's no reasonable people don't do what wicked people do. And so there's a controlling of minds. There's a promoting of wrong ideas and errors and wickedness that's going on by invisible forces. And you have a list of things that I've given you at the bottom of the page. The enemy is here described. We have here an organized, because there's a hierarchy. There is, like in the military, there's a pecking order. As if somebody's in charge of it. And then there are those ranks and orders underneath. There are rulers, there are authorities, there are world powers, which would indicate powers that are worldwide in the scope of their assignments and what they do. And spiritual forces of wickedness. And the word wickedness here is the Greek word paneros, which means pernicious evil. Aggressive evil. It's the worst kind of evil there is in the Greek language. And so this is the kind of forces against which we are arrayed in our lives. You cannot give human reason for this. It isn't reasonable. It doesn't make sense. And it shows up at the most unlikely times, in the most unlikely places, and in the most unlikely ways. So you'll notice my paraphrase. Let's look at the paraphrase there. Because our personal wrestling, that is our conflict, a contest between two in which each, and I'm sorry, because our personal wrestling or conflict is not a confrontation with blood and flesh, that is, people or humans, but in contradistinction, it's a conflict against rulers, authorities, the world powers of this darkness. It is specifically against the malicious spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavens, in the spiritual realm. All right? So that's the kind of a battle that the believer faces. When you're going out into the world this week, you don't know where you're going to find this. You have no idea. And the these these powers of darkness are very deceptive, extremely deceptive, and they are strategic in what they do. Their goal is to, of course, promote darkness and wickedness, to destroy God and His kingdom and His people. And there's a tremendous hatred for the people of God. I think that the average Christian has no earthly idea how much Satan hates you and me. Now, God protects us wonderfully. But there's a tremendous hatred for what's right in this kingdom of darkness. Tremendous hatred. And if you wonder what's going on in the political world, you had better write down a lot of what you're seeing in American politics today to the powers of darkness. Just write it down to that. The extreme wickedness, the contempt toward Christians, the contempt toward those who believe in biblical righteousness, the utter strong opposition to those who believe in biblical morality, and who believe that according to the Bible, the sexual kinds of wickedness that are going on in our society, who believe they are wicked and abomination to God. It is amazing how the forces around us politically have ganged up against the church. And so, by the way, I just want to say as an aside, you pray for our president and the approval of this new Supreme Court justice. I may take a couple of minutes here to explain something. Do you know that the removing of Bibles from the public schools was not done by the Congress? That was done by the courts. They never could have gotten that through the Congress. All right? The legitimizing, the civil rights concept that anybody who seems to be in a minority, that was not done by the Congress. That was done by the courts. That was done by the courts. The legitimizing of the homosexual lifestyle, that was not done by the Congress. That was done by the courts. The Supreme Court did all of this. So everything that has degraded our culture over the last 40 years or 50 years has been done by the Supreme Court, because they never could have gotten this agenda through the legislature. Never would have passed. In fact, the Congress passed in the 1990s what was called DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act, to say that marriage would be considered legally a union between one man and one woman. And recently the Supreme Court overrode that, which means the Supreme Court has been running the country morally and ethically. And if you wonder why there is such a fuss about the nomination of the next justice of the Supreme Court, it's because the Supreme Court will now be removing itself out of that business and may be on our side in future decisions. Okay? That's why the big fuss about the Supreme Court, because the things that have happened to destroy America morally and take God out of the public sector, rule God out of the public sector, the Christmas celebrations, all of this was done by the Supreme Court. None of this was done by the Congress. And the Congress in this country is supposed to represent the people. And the Supreme Court has overruled the Congress and done all of this without congressional approval. And what is considered the law of the land was never put in place by the people of this nation. And never would have been put in place. It would have been impossible to have done these things through the legislature. So pray for the Supreme Court nomination as it runs through the approval process. And thank God that we have someone that's nominated that does not believe that the Supreme Court ought to be making the laws. They call it judicial philosophy. It's really not. It's a totally anti-constitutional function. The court was never designed to establish all of the social and cultural norms of the nation. The Congress was charged with that, not the Supreme Court. So, that just enough of that. I see your heads moving around, and some of you didn't know this. So, you need to be keenly aware of this. That what is going on, had we not had all this brouhaha over the last election, the churches in this country were right near the place where the Supreme Court would be ruling our moral preachings as unconstitutional. That's where we were headed. Because the Congress has not been in charge of these things. We call it an activist Supreme Court. They have been doing this, all right? So just understand, the Congress has not made this. They've made a lot of messes. But when it comes to the cultural norms in our country, the Supreme Court is responsible for all of it. All of it. Basically all of it. So I hope that's helpful to you. That's just how it is. And we are a church, and we are very concerned that we have the privilege of believing God's word and proclaiming God's word as it is given to us. It's inspired of God. It's right. And the Supreme Court was headed in the direction of taking that completely away. And that is why we have cases coming in now. If you own a business and you won't do things, you won't participate in homosexual marriages, they're trying to say that you are against the law and you go to jail. Come on now. Come on now. That would never pass the Congress. It's a Supreme Court thing. Totally a Supreme Court thing. Okay? So be very much in prayer, because it affects God's people. So we have this battle, and this is a part of the nature of the battle, not against flesh and blood. There is a host of demonic powers. Satan is the head of this host of demonic powers. It is an organized, by rank and order, kingdom of darkness. Satan is called the god of this world, see? And he's the prince of the power of the air. All right? Now, so this is the nature of the enemy. It's just like the movie I talked about. You can't see it. It's there. You see the forces. You see the results of this thing. You see them all over the place. But you cannot see who is behind it or who is doing this. And I want to suggest, let's go back to my message of the morning. You remember we said Satan was the, give me the A word. Satan is the accuser, all right? And Jesus Christ is our advocate, you see. So how can Satan be accuser? If he doesn't have access to the minds of men, how in the world can he deceive men? Okay? You be careful about thoughts that come into your mind that just don't seem out of place. Be careful what you do with those thoughts. Just keep your mind alert. And if somebody does something and you find yourself 24 hours a day wanting to kill the person, that's not from the Holy Spirit of God. That's from the kingdom of darkness. And do remember all the time that we're doing this, that though these powers are spiritual in nature and unseen in nature, they are all finite. They are not infinite. They are all finite. They do not have the power of creation. They do not have absolute power. They have limited power. And the ultimate limitation of their power is the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. Satan is a defeated foe, potentially. And ultimately is defeated through the work of the cross. Have you got that? So one of the great deceptions is that we need to be afraid of the devil. We don't need to be afraid of the devil, but we certainly do need to be alert. We don't need to fear him, but we need to recognize that he's around, okay? And by the way, Satan can only be in one place at one time. He doesn't do everything he's blamed for doing, but his host of demonic powers do. Okay, how many are there? Don't ask me. Don't speculate about this stuff. Just be aware that there are holy angels. They're unseen. They help believers. I think they're given to minister to the saints. These are angels. So you not only have the powers of darkness arrayed against you, you have angelic hosts that are there to minister to you. Wow. So make sure you put on the armor of God every morning. Just be alert that things are going on in your life. There's more to it than what you're looking at. Somebody just comes up to you and yells and screams for no reason at all. Say, wow, I wonder what's behind that. And be careful how you handle it. Prayerfully. Okay? So we're in this arena that this battle is going on. And God's good angels, the angelic powers that are allied with God, are very powerful also. So there's a battle going on all over the place, and we're in this arena called the earth. And so we've got to be careful that we're alert in our minds and that we direct our wills every day into the will of God. God, this day is yours. I am yours. My life today is to be for your glory completely and totally. And I give it to you for that reason. Just every day, put on the armor. This day, it doesn't matter what happens to me, but God's name has got to be glorified in my life today, regardless of what happens. Right? The power and glory of God must be revealed through this day in my life. And you begin every day alert and awake. And we are not on the losing side, and we do not live. We should not live in fear. We should live in alertness. Now let me repeat that again. We should not live in fear. Fear not! Those with us are more than those who are against us. We fear not, but we'd better be alert, because somebody may trip us if we don't see the foot sitting out in front of us. Do you watch where you're going? Do you watch where you're walking? If somebody stuck their foot out in front of you to trip you, would you see it? Okay. All right. You don't need to fear somebody's foot in front of you, but you need to be alert, because if it's there, what do? You either jump over it or walk around it. Okay? An alert person doesn't go stumbling over everything in his way. Correct? Correct? You don't need to be afraid of everything, but you do need to be alert. You need to watch where you're going. That's what my dad used to tell me as a boy. Watch where you're going. Watch where you're going, see. So keep an alert mind, all right? So we're in the middle of this struggle. We're on the winning side. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're not victims. We are not victims. But we are more than conquerors. And the battle gets more severe at times. There are times we'll go through spiritual struggles that are just enormous. There are other times there will be little conflicts here and there. Things vary in life, in different stages of life, and different stages of our spiritual service for the Lord. The battles will be different. The intensity will be different. But that the forces of darkness are always there. So keep your eye. Watch where you're going. Be alert. Is that helpful? No God here in fear. What's a demon going to do? The demon's going to do nothing. Not if you're walking with the Lord. God will take care of you, but he may try. Demons would be stupid if they didn't try to trip you up. Until the Lord takes care of them for eternity and consigns them to hell forever, why, they will be trying to do their work. May the Lord encourage your heart today.